Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and remember, we're talking politics every day at this time through the New York primary on September 14th. We'll talk to Republican gubernatorial hopeful Carl Paladino in just a minute. First, for some political headlines today, we'll turn to two endorsements coming in for the September 14th primary and a trending editorial position relevant to our guest. The Daily News did something unconventional yesterday, choosing to bypass the Republican primary for governor altogether and go right to an endorsement of Democrat Andrew Cuomo for governor in the November election. The news says there is no point in taking further stock of the Republican nominees, Rick Lazio and Carl Paladino. It says they have been that awful, unquote. We'll give Mr. Paladino his say about that in just a minute. Meanwhile, editorials continue to pound Lazio for refusing to debate Paladino. The latest is in today's edition of The Citizen of Auburn, New York, near Syracuse. It says some political observers have suggested that Lazio is avoiding a debate because he doesn't want to share the stage with a person he would like the electorate to consider a fringe candidate. That's a politically tone-deaf strategy, says the editorial. Paladino is a true challenger who has earned the right to debate. Again, Carl Paladino is about to be our guest. And finally, Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. is expected to announce today his endorsement of Gustavo Rivera in his primary challenge to State Senate Majority Leader Pedro Espada. Espada is being sued by Attorney General Cuomo for allegedly stealing $14 million from a network of nonprofit health clinics he runs in the South Bronx. Espada also alienated Democrats by backing Republican control of the State Senate for a time last year. Ruben Diaz Jr. breaks with his father, by the way, Democratic State Senator Ruben Diaz Sr. Senator Diaz is sticking with Espada. Now on to Republican gubernatorial hopeful Carl Paladino. He is a real estate developer from Buffalo, was a Democrat from the 1970s until 2005, and has backed candidates from both parties at various times. But in the gubernatorial race, he considers himself the Tea Party candidate and has staked out very controversial positions, like the use of eminent domain to stop the Lower Manhattan Islamic Cultural Center and mosque, calling for welfare recipients and unemployed young people to be housed in vacant prison space in the state and given job training, personal hygiene lessons, and jobs that he compares to the Civilian Conservation Corps of FDR. Then there have been the reporting of emails he reportedly sent containing pornography and the N-word, and the Buffalo area newspaper report last year that he compared Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, an Orthodox Jew, to Hitler and the Antichrist. These things have tended to drown out his policy positions, like promising to declare a state of emergency if elected, to freeze public employee salaries and cut state spending by 10 to 20%. And with that, Carl Paladino, welcome to WNYC.
Hi.
Tell us about that state of emergency. How would that work constitutionally, and what would you do?
Once again, you're using a term which is a little bit off of what I actually said.
Okay.
I said that we are in a state of emergency in the state of New York. We are in a fiscal crisis, and it's time for the governor to use his powers the powers derived from an executive strong constitution to do something about it. Well, he wrote back to me, or not wrote back, he made a public statement that Paladino doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's funny how a couple months later, all of a sudden, he found that he had the power to not sign extenders. He had the power to veto bills. He had the power to convene. Okay, I mean, he started using the powers that we were asking him to start to use, the powers to wedge the legislature to do something positive for the people. In the end, he was doing it solely as part of the overall planned theater that he and his cohorts, including Mr. Silver and Mr. Sampson and Mr. Cuomo, that they wanted to play out for the people of the state of New York.
How would you use that power?
How to use it?
Are you proposing to use that power in a certain way?
Absolutely. Yeah. I plan on cutting the size of the government by 20% in my first year. They plan on cutting taxes 10%. Not capping, by the way. Cutting.
Uh-huh. Through executive order or with the legislature?
What do you mean executive order? In the budget process. In the budget process, I will cut the size of state government by 20%. I will present a budget to the legislature on February 1. At that time, I'll warn them that they have 60 days to deliberate on the budget. If they want to meet three men in a room, fine, we'll do that, except the entire press corps will be there also. On March 31st, if they don't have a budget to me, they will have been warned that I will allow the state government to shut down except for public safety and public health. And they will be responsible for letting the government shut down. When they do give me the budget back, they have the right to delete from my budget that I gave them on February 1st anything that they want. But they don't have the right to add anything except, anything that they do add to the budget is treated as a separate line item, a separate bill under the Constitution. I can veto any line that they put in there. If they try to add some of the spending back in, I'll veto it. They then need two-thirds of each house in order to override the veto. That'll be the end of the culture in Albany as you know it today. It's going to be bloody. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun. All right. It's not going to be more of the theatrics. It's going to be real government, and that's what's going
to
happen.
What would you say to that Daily News? I guess it's more Tuchman, I guess, when it's at this level of endorsement and commentary. It's probably his personal stamp. The first complaint about you in the litany paragraph was Palladino vows to cut the budget by 20%, but does not explain whose oxen he would gore.
Oh, I certainly did explain it. I've explained it in many forums. And by the way, they also didn't tell you that Doug Fiden, one of their reporters, was embedded with me for 3 days, and that he wrote an extensive article, except their editors chose to cut it up and reduce it down to three or four paragraphs. Yes, he knew darn well exactly every aspect of our platform, and the Daily News knew it, but they're in denial. You see, the Daily News is in denial, and they've got some severe problems over there. They don't want to listen. They're obviously and have been obviously in bed with Andrew Cuomo, and they're going to stay there because they like the status quo. They like everything just as it's going on right now, and that's the way the Daily News has been, and that's the way they will continue. By the way, you should take careful note. We told them to go fly a kite when they asked us if we wanted to appear in front of their editorial board.
Are you appearing in front of other editorial boards?
Yes, we met with the Post last week, and we felt good about it, and I think they felt good about it when we left the room.
Has the Times invited you?
The Times hasn't invited us, but the Times they sent a reporter embedded with us again last week, and we're expecting an article tomorrow.
So what would you cut? 20%? Up to 20% is, tremendous.
You're going to see
percentage.
The entitlement programs. We will direct our attention to the fraud, waste, and abuse in those programs. We'll do very simple things like encourage that instead of housing all the elderly in nursing homes at $75,000 per year, we will pay a relative to house a person in the home, and we'll pay them $18,000 a year. The total cost might be $25,000 a year, but we're cutting the cost by almost two-thirds. We're going to encourage that the optional benefits be significantly reduced. I'm talking about optional benefits. I'm not talking about the basic benefits. It's the options that are debilitating, and the options make the cost for New York twice that of the next highest state, being California. Those optional benefits include things such as just for eligibility, what percentage of poverty level do you have to be at to be an applicant for Medicaid? There's questions such as on the waste, fraud, and abuse end, okay, of paying for transportation. Paying people, like for instance, an inner-city resident in the city of Buffalo who smokes gets transportation to ride out to the Seneca Nation, 40 miles in each direction, in a cab, to buy a carton of cigarettes to save $6. Takes the $80 cab fee and gives it to the county. And the county pays it.
Which people are the county paying for to go buy cigarettes?
People on Medicaid. That's an example. By the way, that program last year cost the county of Erie $326,000. And they said, oh, that's nothing. You should see some of the other stuff we do over here.
But doesn't that transportation allowance only apply to trips to and from medical treatment?
No, sir. Not at all.
Medicaid recipients can take any taxi just to go shopping?
To go out and buy cigarettes. They pay for them to go and buy cigarettes. An $80 cab bill, all right, to save $6 on buying a carton of cigarettes. $6 is saved in their pocket. The $80 is paid by the taxpayers.
We'll look into that. Carl Paladino, Republican
gubernatorial hopeful. It's a news article. It's approximately 3 months ago.
Okay, thank you. And on that nursing home, instead of nursing homes pay relatives money to keep those folks in their homes. Of course, people go into nursing homes because they need intensive services, not because they're homeless. Are you proposing that would be enough money?
There are programs in study right now that have been in study for too long. Other states are doing it, all right? New York is lagging. Why? Because probably the nursing home lobby is greasing them up nice and fat. And that's why this nonsense has to stop, this pay-to-play game in Albany.
I also read that you called for consolidation of government services around the state at the county level, so the counties I read a quote. Tell me if this is wrong. You said, I'm looking at consolidating a lot of services at the county. You don't need an assessor in each town. You don't need a tax collector in each town.
Yep. You're right.
What would that include?
Instead of consolidating governments, because I believe in home rule, I think home rule is good. But there are many services rendered by towns that could be consolidated to the county level that could bring about a lot of cost efficiency for the communities. And I would compel that.
How far
do we need an assessor in every town when you could just have one county assessment department? Why do we need multiple highway departments when you could have one countywide highway department?
Would you take it to police forces or schools?
No, that's where you hit the sensitivity levels. Okay. Oh, schools, yes. For the operational activities of, for instance, in Erie County, we have 27 school districts. Why do we need 27 superintendents of school? We don't need that many. Okay. We don't need 54 deputy superintendents and God knows how many other administrative people. The administrative and operational activities could be taken and done a lot better and cost productively at the county level. You'd still have a school board that would be there to set policy and curriculum, make those decisions.
Carl Paladino, once again, my guest on WNYC, a Republican gubernatorial hopeful. Let me get to some of these controversies around you, some of the things, and we've spent the first part here talking about some of your policy proposals that I hope are the mainstream ideas that you're trying to promote. Some of the controversies, your proposal to use the power of eminent domain to have the government seize the land that the Lower Manhattan Islamic Center would be built on. You took out radio commercials promoting that idea the other week. Do you think that would be constitutional?
The power of eminent domain is a very broad term. We have multiple estates in real estate. You're the highest estate that you have is fee simple absolute. That's the ownership of property, okay, the basic ownership. We're not talking about taking the property away from the property owner. We're talking about simply putting a restriction on the properties, for instance, like a zoning restriction, that would involve the entire ground zero site, the area over which the dust cloud, which contained all the remains of those 3,000 people that died, that area that was enveloped by the dust cloud would be restricted as to use. They have to bring the proposed use to a board, which would make a decision on whether or not the proposed use was an affront in any way to the American people, to the people that died at Ground Zero, to the soldiers that fought in two ensuing wars, both American and Allied, and to all those servicemen, men and women.
There is a community board for that neighborhood already. You would impose another community board for the whole area that was enveloped by the dust?
Well, that, you know, we're going to get bogged down in the term eminent domain, but I want you first to understand something.
You used it in your commercial.
In principle, I'm totally against the mosque, all right? And I will stop it by whatever legal means are available to me effective January 1. You can be assured of that. Now, one of the methods might be eminent domain, but it's not the eminent domain that most people understand, the actual taking of land. I'm not going to take their land from them. I'm going to put a restriction on the property, and the restriction on the property will prohibit the use by this group of that land for a mosque, because that is an insult. And it was intended from the beginning to be an insult. You tell me one good reason why these people use the word Cordoba Initiative, all right? They made a big mistake when they did it, and they tried to correct it by renaming the project, all right? But it was too late. They didn't expect the project to get this big. The term Cordoba for radical fundamentalists is a term, a code term, talking about or meaning triumph. Conquest. That's what this thing is about.
Did you know that this imam has had a mosque there since 2007?
It doesn't matter to me where he's had a
few blocks
he's had
away
a mosque
since
illegally in that building, because Bloomberg has let him have the mosque illegally in that building.
Illegally?
Does he have a certificate of occupancy? Did they inspect that building? Do you think there's fire protections in there? Do you think there's sprinkler systems on?
And he's had a mosque 12 blocks from there since 1983, and as far as I've read, never caused anyone any trouble or been suspected of any radical activity by the NYPD.
You're not the judge and jury of that.
I'm telling you what I've read.
The American people are entitled to be protected by their leaders from people who want to falsely hide behind freedom of religion.
Mayor,
and that's what this is.
Mayor
it's
Bloom-
a bunch of...
Go ahead.
Why there? Move it someplace else.
Mayor Bloomberg.
We're not trying to, you know.
Mayor Bloomberg asked, "How far from Ground Zero should a no mosque zone be? How far would it be for you?"
It would be the area that was covered by the dust cloud, as far as I'm concerned.
So no mosques, no cultural center anywhere that was covered by the dust cloud.
Who is Bloomberg to say anything? You know, he just happens to be a mayor.
He was
he's just a Joe citizen.
He's got an opinion. You've got an opinion. He was elected three times, and I'm asking you for your opinion.
And when I'm in office, okay, I will advance my opinion.
How far geographically did the dust cloud extend?
I really don't know. That's something you'd have to ask the experts down there.
Did it extend to 14th Street?
I have no idea, sir. No idea. I would expect it probably went out about a quarter of a mile around the World Trade Center site.
On your idea to house welfare recipients and unemployed youth, and tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong, at prison facilities underutilized or unused in the state, and give them FDR-style Civilian Conservation Corps-style jobs, how would that work?
The objective here is to provide opportunity for the unskilled labor force that's out there today, either on welfare, on unemployment, on extended benefits, underemployed, whoever they might be, to provide for them a pathway to achieve a fulfilling life. And the goal, that's the goal. Now, how do you get there? Well, you could have multiple programs. You could have a rural forestry-type program. You could have an urban-type program where people would actually just stay living in their homes and they go to work every day in an urban program. You could have recycling programs. You could have the military National Guard programs to get more people into the National Guard. Various programs designed for training, education, development, of the people, okay, and development and training of them in a specific trade, and giving them the self-esteem of having earned income in their pocket.
How would you determine which?
It's an opportunity. The whole thing is an opportunity. By the way, the girl that wrote that article from the AP. All right, what did she write? She picked three words out of a total 15-minute explanation. She picked three words and she put them together. That's wrong. Okay, it was terrible journalism.
How would you determine which welfare recipients or unemployed youth would get what housing and what jobs?
That'd be up to them. They'd elect it, but they'd have to enter the program if they wanted to continue collecting. But we're not. What we're doing is we're replacing the welfare check with a paycheck. We're replacing the unemployment check with a paycheck. Okay, if they want to stay getting a paycheck, all right, they're gonna have to enter the program. It's their voluntary choice of where they go. They want to get in a forestry program. As my dad, was in a forestry program in the CCCs. The CCCs, by the way, started in New York. Franklin Roosevelt started the test case when he was governor of the state of New York, then he brought it into the federal government.
Is this more? Would you characterize this more of a liberal program? Because you want to reduce the number of state workers, but then hire all these people and give them government-paid jobs. Is that consistent?
I am sensitive to the entire population of New Yorkers out there. There are people who need to work. They have to work, all right, for their own self-esteem. There are people that have for so long been disengaged from work, okay, that they don't know better. They have to be helped. The patron saint of the Democratic Party is FDR. All right. I'm doing a program very similar to FDR. I'm not trying to be Democrat or liberal or Republican or conservative or anything. I'm talking about good programs that are necessary for the entire population of the state of New York. Yes, we have to help these kids get off the street. The kids right now, they get a welfare check and they go out on the streets and they get themselves in trouble. Yes, we want to help them. We want to help the unemployed fellow, okay, who's got a kid or a couple of kids, and he needs that. He needs that self-esteem. He needs that in order, and he can't find a job right now. That's who we want to help.
There's basically a work requirement for welfare in New York State today.
It's a work requirement for welfare in New York State. Yes.
So how is this different from that?
For able-bodied people who are not otherwise exempt.
So how is this?
Got to get down into the nitty-gritty.
So how is this proposal different?
This proposal is exactly that. Now in New York City, you have some kind of a pilot-type program. We don't have it in upstate New York.
And when you refer to personal hygiene, so many people have been offended by that. Why did you say
again, the girl took one word, okay? I'm talking about personal development. Yes, I did. I trained troops at Fort Dix. I trained them for many, many years, and I trained them in a lot of things. I taught them how to wear two pairs of socks when they're out on a march. I taught them how to go and get some iodine on that little scratch that could turn into an infection.
But
things that they having come from dysfunctional type of backgrounds, okay, were unable to. They hadn't learned it, and we taught them those things.
But
and
I
one
think
of them
when
was
you
personal hygiene.
But I think when you talked about that previously, your military experience, you said you were training urban recruits to do this. So were you saying that blacks and Latinos?
No, I says in the case. No, come on, stop that nonsense. You know, that's all nonsense.
That's,
you want to twist every word.
That's
you
how people are. That's how people are hearing it. Go ahead and explain yourself, because
well,
you did say
they're
urban.
Hearing they're hearing it because that's the way that girl chose to write it.
You did use the word urban, though, I believe, right? In talking about
yes.
your military training.
I'm talking about. I had an experience with kids from urban dysfunctional homes. All right, or they could be rural dysfunctional homes, and they came from dysfunctional homes, and they did not have the ability to take care of themselves. And we taught them that ability. It's one of the things they picked up in the military. It's called a dignity corps. Okay, it's an opportunity for the people, for unskilled workers to have that opportunity to find their way, find a path into some kind of fulfillment. We do nothing like that today. Nothing. And it's disgusting.
The Daily News editorial also complains that you have, quote, forwarded racist and pornographic emails, including using the N-word and contemptibly compared Silver, an Orthodox Jew, to the Antichrist and Hitler.
Well, first of all, as to Mr. Silver, they have mischaracterized anything that I have said. I've never said that, except that probably in the vein of referring to what Mr. Collins, our Erie County executive, had said. Beyond that, I've never said that. As for forwarding racist and obscene emails, which have been characterized that way, I forwarded emails that were. I'm in the construction industry. Okay, I get a lot of this junk sent to me, and I did that. I forwarded emails, and I've apologized to those that were offended by it. Okay, I forwarded to a select group of friends, and generally, the people of the state of New York are disinterested in this topic. They're more interested in the felonies and the high crimes and misdemeanors of the ruling class that's in Albany, New York today.
But if the video was Obama inauguration rehearsal, a video showing African tribesmen dancing in a village, is somebody who forwarded that to friends fit to be the governor of New York?
I'm human. I'm human like you and like everybody else. So don't pontificate to me. Okay?
And just on the silver thing, just to be clear, when you say that it was in the context of defending Mr. Collins, and he had originally said it, as I understand
not defending Mr. Collins, in the context of describing what Mr. Collins had said, I may have said something like that. I don't recall it.
Go ahead.
And now that was back when it occurred.
October.
Told Mr. Collins not to apologize at that time because I know that his intentions were otherwise. And I have great respect for Mr. Collins. Mr. Collins did not intend to insult anybody. And I called him that next day. And I also, in a subsequent conversation, may have brought it up, okay, in the context of explaining that Mr. Collins should never have apologized because he had no male intentions about it.
So what would be?
So you keep bringing it up. Go ahead.
To try to get you to clarify, if he said and then you repeated that Silver, quote, according to the Niagara Gazette last October, fit the bill of an Antichrist or Hitler, and he shouldn't apologize for that?
That's what Mr. Collins said. I don't remember what I said to those people that day, but I was probably referring to Mr. Collins having said something, okay, and that he should never have apologized for it.
Why not?
Because I know he had no male intent against the Jewish people.
Okay. Take 2 minutes and say anything you want to the primary voters of New York.
Go out and vote.
There you go. Carl Palladino, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will talk to somebody who is founding a party that's intended to get past the left-right polarization in America.